You're listening to SBS News.
The world's 1.8 billion Muslims are adjusting to marking the holy month of Ramadan during the outbreak. Centuries of tradition have been disrupted as families prepare for online prayers and virtual gatherings. In Algeria, Khalida says there's a very different mood this year.
The spirit of Ramadan is missing this year. May God grant us strength and help us get through this. The only thing I will really miss this Ramadan is my children's visit. They are now in London and can't travel to Algeria this Ramadan. That's all I want, my children.
Restrictions on mosque gatherings have also cast a shadow over the holiday. Almost all Muslim majority countries have closed mosques and asked people to pray at home. In Saudi Arabia, home to Islam's holiest shrines, the start of Ramadan was marked with a live broadcast from Mecca's Grand Mosque. Only a small group of staff, clerics and cleaners were allowed inside the mosque. Imam Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Sudai urged worshippers to use the time during Ramadan to pray for an end to the coronavirus pandemic that has crippled the world.
This blessed month of Ramadan comes while the world goes through a dangerous crisis of the coronavirus pandemic. And it's no doubt an opportunity for believers to pray to God to lift this pandemic away from them.
Pakistan is taking a different approach, ignoring pleas from doctors to close mosques. Those gathering at mosques have been encouraged to observe social distancing rules. But bookshop owner Azmat Allah says he has concerns about the spread of the virus.
Good. Let the government open the mosques. We are not opposed to prayers being offered in mosques, but will they be able to keep checks on the numbers? If 500 or 1,000 people turn up, will anyone be able to stop them from entering the mosque? They will never be able to do it. Take it from me in writing, it cannot be done.
Meanwhile, in Armenia, there were scaled back commemorations marking 105 years since the mass killing of Armenians by Ottoman Turks during World War I. Street lights were turned off nationwide as President Armen Sarkisian acknowledged the coronavirus lockdown had altered the anniversary. At the country's official memorial site honouring the dead, musical tributes were performed. Armenians say up to 1.5 million people were killed during World War I, a claim supported by 32 countries, including the US, Germany, France, and Italy. Turkey continues to reject the use of the term genocide. In Australia, Anzac Day commemorations have been downsized, with no community commemorative services or marches. Instead, Australians are being urged to watch the nationally broadcast dawn service from the Australian War Memorial. RSL state and territory branches asked Australians to show their Anzac spirit at home in a private dawn service. In a video message, Australian jazz musician James Morrison urged brass musicians to play their part.
Hi, I'm James Morrison, and I'm calling on brass players all over Australia to join in Music for Mateship. It's about celebrating Anzac Day by playing the last post. All you need to do is stand in your driveway at 6 a.m. on Anzac morning and play the last post. The feeling that's going to create in our communities around the country when people hear that song on that morning and know that we're celebrating Anzac Day as we always do, to remember our Anzacs who fought in all wars.
As New Zealand remains under level 4 lockdowns, it too will be marking the day with driveway services. Meanwhile, the economic fallout has worsened in the United States, the country hit hardest by the virus. Unemployment there is swelling to levels last seen during the Great Depression of the 1930s, with one in six American workers now out of a job. Roughly 26 million people have now filed for jobless aid in the 5 weeks since the coronavirus outbreak. Non-profit journalism organisation The Fuller Project says women account for up to 67% of unemployment claims filed in 17 US states from March 1st to April 11. One of those women is 46-year-old Connie Boyd, who lost her retail job at the Charlotte Douglas International Airport in North Carolina. She says her number one concern is her lost health insurance.
If I no longer had a job, then that means no longer health insurance for me. And with my illness, I have to have, it's very important that I have health insurance because I have Crohn's disease.
The incomes of migrant workers globally have also taken a hit. The World Bank projects global remittances, the money sent home from people working abroad, will drop 20% in 2020. The body says it's the sharpest decline in recent history. Central Asia countries are predicted to see the largest drop, while countries in the East Asia and Pacific region are forecast to be the least affected. Meanwhile, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the pandemic has shifted from a public health emergency to a human rights crisis.
We see the disproportionate effects on certain communities, the rise of hate speech, the targeting of vulnerable groups, and the risk of heavy-handed security responses undermining the health response. Against the background of rising ethno-nationalism, populism, authoritarianism, and the pushback against human rights in some countries, the crisis can provide a pretext to adopt repressive measures for purposes unrelated to the pandemic. This is unacceptable.
Worldwide, there have been more than 2.6 million people infected with the coronavirus. More than 187,000 people have died. But the number of those who have recovered has passed 732,000. You can stay up to date on coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.